You got your Bible, 1 Samuel, the 2nd chapter. Amen. Thank you for your prayers in this place. People being in and out of this place all week long praying. I appreciate that so much. Others praying at home. Amen. It means so much to have people that understand the importance of prayer. Amen. If there's anything good going to happen in your life, you're going to learn how to pray. Amen. Good things come to people that pray. You say, what's the connection? Well, here's the connection. You touch God when you pray. And when you touch God, good things begin to happen. Amen. And it's a lifestyle. Good stuff. Amen. Thank the Lord for it. 1 Samuel, the 2nd chapter in the 1st verse. Amen. Praise God. So good to have some honeymooners home. And then another wedding Saturday, the second gun season. Saturday, another wedding. Amen. Pray for them. God, Lord, bless them forever on their anniversaries. Praise God. Amen. And Hannah prayed. Everybody say she prayed. You wonder what I'm going to preach about tonight? And said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. Anytime you see horn, that means strength or power. Is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee. Neither is there any rock like our God. Amen. I want to preach the song of Hannah. Amen. Set your Bibles down and lift your hands to the Lord. Lift your voices to the Lord all across this house. Come on, come on, we need God to help us tonight. Come on, lift it up like a trumpet. God, we want you to touch us. I want you to mold me, God. I want you to shape me in this house. Come on, is anybody hungry for the word? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now in a way of worship, let's put our hands together for Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Prayers are for the monks. They were both sick. Also, Sister Amanda Monks, his mother is in the hospital, needs a touch from God. Remember all of them in your prayer and everyone else that's unable to make it. Amen. I'm glad that I had a pastor that taught me how to pray and seek out a word from God. And I'm telling you, early this morning, it was as real as any time God has ever dealt with me. Amen. And I hope you're hungry. I don't know if I'm just going to teach a little while or preach a little while, but I want you to be better when we leave. Amen. I'm better just typing these notes out. Amen. Thank the Lord for anybody want to get better. Amen. Anybody want to grow in God? Thank you, Jesus. This is known as the Song of Hannah. It is a prayer that was put in poetic form. And I don't know whether she sang it or not. I don't know. I don't know if it was ever even put to music. I'm not sure. But it was from this woman's heart. And it was called by theologians the Song of Hannah. I tell you, the best songs are the songs that come from a real experience. Amen. Hannah wasn't saying, I'd like to write a number one hit. Has anybody got any cliquish lines that we could add together? Amen. Maybe make a little money. That wasn't the purpose of this. This was from the bottom of her heart. Amen. After going through the trial of her life. Amen. After being hurt and after wanting something from God through a terrible situation after a prayer meeting, God turned it all around. And when God turned it around, God gave her a song to sing. You know what a song is? It's thank you, Jesus. Amen. Come on. I pray tonight that God's going to give everybody in this room a song before we leave. Hallelujah. I pray God put something in everybody's spirit to, amen, that says, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Your words ain't going to be like my words. Your rhythm may not be like mine, but it's the same God. I said it's the same prayer answering God. Amen. That's listening to our prayers. Amen. Who's moved by the feelings of our infirmities. You know what that means? When you're going through a trial, God's moved by it. Don't think he's off somewhere and don't know what's going on in your life and can't feel what you feel. He was tempted at all points like we are, yet he did not. He knows what we're going through. Come on, everybody, clap your hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. God put it in our spirit today. Amen. And that's my desire preaching today. This is what the Lord dealt with me about, that everybody would have a song before we leave tonight. Not a song of defeat, but a song of victory. Did you hear me? A song of victory. And not somebody else's song. Come on, church. There comes a point in your life. You need to quit telling everybody else's story. And you need to pray until you get a victory yourself. And you can tell your own story. Come on. I feel like God's wanting to take somebody to a new level. That feels like you can't. You're stuck where you're at. I rebuke that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. There's a God in heaven that wants to pull every one of us up higher. Hallelujah. God, work on my spirit. Work on me, God. If you see anything that ain't right, take it out. Come on, can you say amen? Do you at least agree with what I'm preaching? God, if you see anything in my heart that ain't right, I give you veto power. I give you authority to take it out. I want to be blessed. I want to come out of this trial. I want to have a new song to sing. Come on, let's love him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This story begins with a man named Elkanah who has two wives. Amen. The first thing I'm going to preach about is you ain't supposed to have two wives. Hallelujah. Why are you preaching that? Because you never know. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We're living in goofy times. They're marrying their pets. So I'm going to preach the word of God. It was never God's plan for a man to have two wives. Bible said man would leave his mother and father and cling to his singular, and they shall become one. Jesus would repeat it. I don't even know why I'm preaching this other than God laid it on my heart. Maybe it's somebody on the internet. Amen. Praise God. It ain't right with God if you're in Utah or Arkansas. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Jesus would come back and he would repeat the same commandment in Matthew. He said, the twain, you know what that means? The two, not three, not four, not 700 like Solomon. But two would become one flesh. Three can't become one. Amen. That's why the Trinity's a mess. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. One man, one woman. Not two husbands, not two wives. It's confusion. It's always been confusion. Amen. But the Bible would say there was things in the Old Testament that God would kind of wink at. That doesn't mean like, hey, cutie. It's like, I'll deal with this later. I'll deal with this in the New Testament. But because at the time there was more women than men. There always has been a few more women than men. I don't know why. And another reason that this practice took place is the men were always wanting to die for dumb reasons. Amen. They would just go to war over dumb things. And you read the Bible and 20,000 died this day and 70 and 90. You can see what would happen. It was almost like a man would take on multiple wives, and it was almost like, I hate to say it, but it was almost just like a social structure to take care of people that would otherwise be in poor. But even when you read stories in the Old Testament about multiple wives, it was always even confusion then, because they would love one more than the other. That ought to tell you, you can really only love one spouse. Amen. You ain't got amen. I'm just preaching what God laid upon my heart. Amen. It was always even confusion. Jacob loved Rachel more, and it caused problems. In this story, Elkanah loved Hannah more, and it caused dysfunction. And so even in this dysfunctional family, it even gets worse, because he's got one wife named Penina who has children, and the one that he really loves, Hannah, doesn't have any children. Amen. I wonder if he second-guessed that decision. In the Old Testament Bible days, to have children meant you were prosperous. It was a sign of purpose. And in order to continue the family, practice the fields, the work, children actually worked. And they helped. Well, what a thought. Children working. Children having chores. Amen. Everybody on the front row, clap your hands. The second row, clap your hands. Praise God. That's good preaching right there. Amen. Children had something to do. And then when children got older, they helped take care of their parents. What a thought. Boy, I love the Bible, don't you? Amen. Children were almost like a Social Security. When you got old, you took care of them when they were young, and they take care of you when you got old. Praise God. Amen. It's getting quiet in the house. I'm just teaching the Bible. Y'all said you were hungry for a Bible study. This is Bible study. And so in this family, this woman named Penina, wife number two, you could say, who had children, would provoke wife number one, named Hannah. She would aggravate her and harass her until the Bible said she was sore. That means she was very much irritated. And when it was time to go to Shiloh for the sacrifice that they would go to three times a year, Hannah would begin to cry, and she would not eat as they went on this journey with everybody else. She was overwhelmed, if you could let me say it like this, by the insecurity that was caused by the Lord having shut up her womb. Amen. Praise God. Crowds even made her insecurity even worse. Amen. People that are insecure can hide in the room and cope with it. But it is exaggerated when they get into crowds of people. Maybe it was because Penina was carrying all of her children to church, but Hannah didn't have any children that she could carry to church. And the worries about what other people would think about Hannah began to wear on her mind because of the barrenness which created insecurity. Barrenness created insecurity. Insecurity is just the uncertainty or the anxiety about yourself. It is the lack of confidence. Brother Booker, Bishop Booker, would coin this term. He would say, pride hath killed its thousands, but insecurity has killed its tens of thousands. Amen. Pride is very dangerous, but not knowing how to deal with your insecurity is even more dangerous than pride is. Hallelujah. People would say Saul was jealous of David. I would probably agree with that, but I will tell you that it is not the root cause of what David or what Saul did. Amen. Because if you study the life of Saul, you realize he was a very insecure person.
When it was time for Saul to be anointed king of Israel, the Bible said he wasn't nowhere around. He was hiding among the stuff. Means he had went and got amongst the supplies and he was hiding. He was a very insecure person. There's nothing wrong with insecurity, amen, but there is a problem when insecurity leads you into sin. Hallelujah. Amen. Saul did not have a problem with David. Matter of fact, when David was going to fight Goliath, Saul said, "Here, would you like my armor?" Amen. He was not messed up about who David was at that point. But after David kills Goliath, amen, then the women start singing songs like, "Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his 10,000s. That insecurity that was hidden by being the king and having the crown on your head, all of a sudden that insecurity began to come out. Man, the insecurity of Saul turned into jealousy. It turned into anger and it turned into bitterness. It turned into murder. And he tries to kill David over and over again. But I want to preach to this congregation. David wasn't the problem. David is never the problem. It's always Saul. Amen. Insecurity is not a problem of somebody else. Insecurity is an internal problem. And if you don't ever learn how to deal with an internal problem, you'll be wanting to kill people. You'll be wanting to turn on people. You'll be on Facebook trying to destroy people. Let me tell you, gossipers, you know what they are? If you get right down to it, they're a bunch of insecure people who don't know how to deal with their own selves. Come on, I come to help somebody in this house. Insecurity but by itself is not a sin. But if you let it get out of control, it'll become a sin. Boy, I feel Jesus backing me up right now. Let me tell you something. Everybody deals with a certain level of insecurity. But you better be careful how you allow it to shape your influence and shape what you think about other people and your feelings about other people. Amen. I'm going to tell you, you'll be hating somebody. You'll pick up a javelin and start throwing it at somebody who's done nothing but good to you. Where did it stem from? It stemmed from insecurity that was never dealt with. Come on, lift your hands to the Lord together. I know this is, come on church, help me pray. I know this is difficult preaching, but God's wanting to mold somebody. Amen. If I can win one person out of this thing, if I can turn one person around that's on their way to a red hot hell because they hate everybody, they can't stand people. Amen. If I can turn one person around, it'll be worth every moment of it. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your hands to the Lord together. Hallelujah. Hannah was so upset. And even though Peninnah wasn't a very nice person, and though she poked at Hannah, honestly, she was not the problem. The problem was Hannah's barrenness had got to her. Her barrenness had got to her heart and began to mess with her mind. The Bible said that God is the one that had closed the womb of Hannah. Amen. I hope you're gonna receive this. I'm gonna lay this out just like God gave it to me. I want to tell you there's a whole lot of insecurities that really you don't have no control over anyway. Come on, church. People deal with things they're insecure about, what they look like, how tall they are, how short they are, what they weigh, what their hair looks like, where their birthmark is. They got this scar, got this past, they got... There's a whole lot of things that cause insecurity. Let me tell you something. A lot of things are good for you. There's other things. A barrenness of the body can cause insecurities. A barrenness of ministry can cause insecurities. A barrenness of finances can cause insecurity. Amen. Some of it may be attributed to people, but I want to tell you, God controls a whole lot of what goes on in your life also. Hallelujah. Come on, I'm going to help somebody. Amen. That you're going to have to get past your own self before you can ever have victory in the kingdom of God. Come on, those people, you're looking at Penina and thinking she's the problem. She's not the problem. She may be a troublemaker, but she's not the problem. Amen. Come on. Come on. Insecurity is a problem that happens on the inside. If you allow it to get out of control, you'll destroy your own family. You'll destroy your own marriage by insecurity. Boy, I feel the Holy Ghost. You'll mess up your relationship with your own children by insecurity. I want to tell you, if you got a problem, you do just like my pastor said. You get it by the nape of the neck and you take it back to an altar. Come on, church. Hallelujah. Something that we all deal with to a certain degree is insecurity. Think about how many more friends you would have if there were no problems of insecurity. Think about how many souls we could win, amen, to the kingdom of God if there was not insecurity. I don't know how many people I've heard tell me, hey, I know this person and I want you to teach them a Bible study. Why do you want me to teach them a Bible study? Amen. The Bible said for you to always be ready to give an answer for the hope that is in you. Hey, insecurity will rob revival. Insecurity will cause people to not be used by God because they think I'm not good enough or I'm not smart enough. Amen. I never took choir in high school. I can't sing. I never went to Bible college. I can't preach. I never gave a speech in school, so I can't really, I'm not good at talking to people. Amen. You know what you need to do when God calls you out? You need to say, God knew every insecurity that I had. He knew who I was, and he still called me anyway. Amen. He knew exactly what I am, and he... Come on, I'm going to keep on plowing till God gets to the very heart of what's going on in somebody's life. Amen. I'm ready to get rid of the trouble out of your life, but it may be insecurity. Come on, lift your hands with me right now. Come on, I want you to ask God to help every one of us. Come on, say, help me, Jesus. It's not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, oh Lord. Come on, I need you to touch me. Amen. People insecure about their abilities, insecure about what they've gone through in life, insecurities about what family they belong to, insecurities about how late in life they got in church. I'm telling you, there's a million reasons to be insecure, but if you want to be what God called you to be, you got to get rid of it. You got to... So, insecurity is not a people problem. It's an internal problem. I said it's not somebody else. I don't know how many people have been blamed for our own problems. You think if we could just get rid of that person out of my street or out of my pew or whatever, I would be so much better. No. Amen. Usually you're looking at somebody that's got an anointing on them. And you got a problem with the anointing of God on somebody else. Amen. It's insecure people that oppose the anointing of God. Boy, I feel like preaching. Amen. Don't take anything wrong. I'm preaching with love. I hope you feel this. There's people that God want to use in the gifts of the Spirit, healings and words of knowledge and tongues and interpretation. Amen. But they allow insecurities to hold them back. Can I just preach to you like a shepherd for a little while? Let me tell you, if God puts it on you, He believes in you. You may not believe in yourself, but if God puts it on you, He believes in you. Come on, God ain't got insecurities about you. Hallelujah. So this is what Hannah's dealing with. She's dealing with this other woman in her house. Can you imagine? Another woman in the house. And this woman can have children and you can't have. And so Hannah doesn't get in a shouting match with Penina. Yeah. Amen. Beating the person up don't help. She doesn't go to her husband and try to conspire some theory against Penina. There must be something in her spirit that realizes, you know what? I need to be changed. Talking about a beautiful day when you quit pointing your fingers at everybody else. Well, that person's the reason I can't live for God. I ain't ever seen a person that was bigger and badder than the Holy Ghost. So don't tell me a person can keep you from living for God. A person cannot. But you can keep your own self from living for God. So she don't get in a fight with her. She does what you should do with insecurities. She takes them to the altar. Not to Facebook. Not to Instagram. Not to group text or individual text. She takes her insecurities and she says, I'm going to Shiloh with my husband and this other woman and all her kids, but I'm going to ignore all my insecurities on this Wednesday night. I'm going to walk through that door and I'm not here because of anybody else. I'm here because I got a problem and I got to have it fixed. Come on, I'm going to help somebody. Come on, I'm going to help somebody. Get your eyes off of David. Get your eyes off Penina and say, it's me, Lord. When you help me, God, you get rid of your strife when you take care of your flesh. She took it to the altar. And she did not get on the altar and say, God, I want you to deal with Penina. I hope she falls into a snare. She's been bothering me. She's been poking me. And I want you to give her what she deserves. Get her out. No, she realized Penina's not the problem. Hannah is the problem. Hannah's barrenness is the problem. Let me tell you about barrenness. Hey, man, it'll make you bitter at everybody else. Well, they got a house and I don't. They got a car and I don't. They got a business and I don't. They got this, they got that, and I'm barren. No, you need to quit looking at everybody else and say, hey, it's me, God. Hey, man, I'm going to come out of this. She begins to pray in Shiloh, and obviously this prayer is different than any other time she's going to pray. This was a deep, deep prayer. You know what's beautiful is when people get in prayer, amen, then they're saying, fix me, God. I've watched people that needed to be changed so bad, and when conviction would fall, they'll go try to grab somebody else and shake them a while like, you're looking at an optical illusion. It looks like I've got it together and I'm praying for them. But God knows the truth. God knows Hannah. And God knows what Hannah needs. Amen. The Bible doesn't say she grabbed Penina and said, me and you going to go pray tonight. The Bible said she just went to that altar and began to pray a deep prayer. God, fix me. Come on, I'm going to help somebody if you'll let me. God, today, fix me. Tell you how beautiful God is. When Hannah gets serious about her barrenness and gets on an altar, let me tell you, God's going to show up. I've never seen anybody that said, God, I put my insecurities on this altar. You ain't got to explain to God who you are. He formed you. You ain't got to tell him all your secrets. He was there when it happened. You ain't got to show him your scars. All you got to do is get on an altar and say, fix me, God. Man, this prayer was so deep that her mouth was moving, but no sound was coming out. Let me tell you, I love loud prayer. Amen. I love to get wild in prayer, and I love it when people are shouting and hollering. But let me tell you, the loudest one don't necessarily mean it's the one getting through. You can holler anything you want, but from the bottom of your heart, amen, God knows who really wants to touch him and who really wants to change. Don't be bluffed by, well, praise God. Praise God. Praise. Amen. Sometimes that's beautiful, and sometimes it's a cover-up for somebody who's got a messed up heart. Hey, we need some Hannahs that'll get on an altar and say, she prayed until there was no sound coming out of her mouth. Have you ever prayed until your heart was pushing things out and there wasn't even any sound? What are you doing, God? This is a prayer only me and Hannah know about. She She's about to get so deep in prayer that there won't even be a word come out. But I know what her heart's telling me. I know what her spirit's saying. She's in intercession, all right. But she's in intercession for Hannah. Forget Penina and all of her kids. It's me, Lord. She begins to pray so deeply that Eli, the priest who has no discernment at all. What are you talking about? Well, you can just look at his boys, Hophni and Phinehas. And I'll tell you how many real prayer meetings they had in the temple. Not very many. And he looks at this woman who's pouring her heart out. That may be the saddest part of the story. Was the preacher said, is she drunk? Never even seen anybody pray so deep. My Lord. I pray every one of our prayer services turn into something deep. I don't care if it's loud or quiet. I want it deep. I want people touching the hem of his garment. I want people working on who they really are. Amen. I don't want people hiding. Well, I've never really, it's something I don't really talk about. Well, you don't have to tell anybody else. But you do need to take your insecurities and open your heart. And this woman walked into the church at Shiloh. She's all messed up in the head. She's so sad. She's so messed up mentally, she won't even eat. She's just a wreck. When Eli says, woman, are you drunk? Something. She popped to her senses. It's bad when the woman from across town's got to tell the preacher what's going on. She said, I'm not drunk. I got a sorrowful heart. Eli figured out what was going on. This is deep prayer. This woman, I'm going to tell you, you don't go to an altar and pour it all out and stay the same. That's why, please forgive me, but I don't spend a whole lot of time praying for people that won't pour it out. Why? Because I'm 51. Amen. And there's a whole lot of people that are willing to pour it out. When I know somebody's pouring it out, amen, I know something's about to change. Amen. And Eli, he realizes, my Lord, this woman's in some focused prayer right now. And here I was trying to correct her, and she straightened me out. And when he realized this woman, she's dealing with something very deep. Praise God. Hey, amen. The altar's where you take the deep stuff. And tell you, you wouldn't need counseling every service with a pastor. I'm talking to people on the internet. If you're praying deep stuff at the altar, if you're putting your insecurities on the altar and saying, God, this is just who I am, but I want you to help me. You won't have to be counseled every day. Because you're going to feel some help come from on high. It's called Holy Ghost help. Amen. I know who's praying in the Holy Ghost. I know who's being fervent. I know who's wanting help. Amen. There's a difference between wanting help and wanting attention. A lot of people want attention. Amen. You can only give so much attention. But I know a God that can give help from here till the end of time. He can stay all night long with you. Hallelujah. Eli marks her. I think Eli learned a lesson that day. He probably thought, you know what? We should have been doing this all along. He probably thought, I wish I'd have raised my boys at prayer meeting like this woman's doing right now. I wonder if my boys would be spiritually minded instead of carnally minded if this woman would have been coming to church and we'd have been praying like she prays. Come on, I got to burn for this church right now. Come on. I'm looking for some people who are willing to get under the load and turn this place into a red hot house of prayer. How many more miracles would happen? How many more people would already be in church? How much more revival would happen if Hannah was Hannah every time she came to church? Come on. I don't think you ought to wait until the tank is on empty before you start praying again. I don't believe you got to wait till you're so sick you can't eat and you're out of your mind before you start praying again. I believe we ought to do it every day. Come on, I feel healing in this house. Help us, God. What's going to happen? You know, Eli, when he was sitting there looking at that woman, you know he had to be thinking, this would feel like a different place if Hannah showed up every service. Hallelujah. When Eli seen this woman praying, he begins to prophesy over her. Lord, grant her request. Amen. I would say, thank you, Eli. But you didn't even know what was happening 5 minutes ago. I got a feeling God was about to show up, whether you open your mouth or not. Let me tell you something. There's some prayers you don't have to have somebody put their hand on your head or shake you or give you a word. We got enough Holy Ghost. We ought to be able to pray and God shake the foundation. Come on, church. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your hands to the Lord together. Come on, God's going to deal with the insecurities tonight. Come on, I feel a prophetic word from God. Somebody's about to overcome your past. Overcome who you are. Overcome your shortcomings. This was one prayer meeting. One prayer meeting. Think what would happen if we had a daily prayer meeting. Listen to what happens to Hannah. Immediately after one prayer meeting, she gets an appetite. You can tell I've been praying. I got so much appetite, it's hard for me to fast. Got so much. That's another sermon. One prayer meeting, Brother Aaron, one prayer meeting where she forgets about Peninnah, forgets about woe is me, forgets about how people look at you in society. You're the one that didn't have children. I'm sorry, you're the barren one. She goes to that altar. One prayer meeting. She gets up in the, if you just let me paraphrase it like I, from the South, this Arab. She wakes up and she's happy. Or she gets up and she's happy. And she's hungry. And she's got faith. Nothing's changed. She's still barren. But she's eating. Can we go to Chick-fil-A? No, they're closed on Sunday. Can we go to Tacos Tacos? Yes, we can. I'm hungry. Well, I thought you were depressed 5 minutes ago. It probably took more than 5 minutes. Let me just say that. An hour ago, you weren't even hungry. Hannah, I haven't seen you smile like this. You know I love you, Hannah. I love you more. You're my number one, Hannah. And you're smiling. And you want to go on a date with me. Hey, prayer is good for your marriage. You ought to drag your spouse to church and pray. Hey, prayer is romantic, I guess. I don't. Amen. Watching her pray, she got happy. It was a longer sacrifice feast. And the Bible says she gets up the next day and she goes back to church. What is she doing? The Bible says she starts worshiping God. I don't know how she did it. She may have laid flat. She may have cried again. She may have hollered. She may have jumped. She may have ran. She may have rolled. I don't know. But she went and worshiped God. Nothing had changed. She's still barren. What's changed? I'm changed. My situation hadn't changed, but I've changed. What happened to you? I touched something I never touched before. Come on, I come to help somebody. You're thinking, God, when you deal with my barrenness, I'm going to praise you. And God's saying, I want you to praise me, and I'll take care of your barrenness. We get it all backwards. When you get on an altar and you deal with that barrenness. Come on, I want you to deal with it. I want your insecurities. Boy, the enemy don't want me to preach this. But I feel more Holy Ghost backing me up right now. Come on, God's saying, hey, bring your insecurity to me today. Let me deal with you. Walk out of here with a new mind and a new focus and new direction. And that's just the beginning. I would say, boy, that's great church. Somebody comes and prays and they're dealing with depression and dealing with unbelief and doubt and dealing with insecurities and they're fasting, they can't eat and they're depressed and they come to an altar and God touches them and they come up and they're happy. And all of a sudden they love the ones that they hated. I would call that good church. I would call that miraculous church. I would call that revival church. But let me tell you something. God was just getting started in Hannah's life. I got more for you than just a smile from ear to ear. I got more for you than just appetite recovery services. I'm fixing to blow your mind. I'm about to take care of your barrenness because you were willing to lay it down. Come on, we gotta take it to a new level. Not just, well, I feel good. Well, God touched me. I think I can make it another day. I think I can go one more mile. God's wanting to take us further than that. He wants to do more than give you a little touch. He wants to make you a new person from the inside out. What started it? How did this miracle happen? Well, this is how it happened. A woman started praying. Hallelujah. Ain't very long. That stomach begins to move on out. Not for the same reason. My Lord, Hannah, what's going on? See, they didn't do a blood test. 7 days later, well, you're 7 days expecting. Let's do the ultrasound. 21 days later, oh, yeah, the heartbeat's 107 or whatever. What are you holding on to, Hannah? I'm holding on to this ultrasound. No, you're not. She was holding on to what she felt at that prayer meeting. She wasn't very long. Everybody in town knew. Penina knew. Hannah's about to have a boy. Hannah's about to have a baby. Amen. And a few months later, here comes Samuel. Amen. And she's holding that little boy and she's thinking in her mind, God, you gave this to me. This wasn't just my miracle. You gave me this baby. As soon as this boy's weaned, because you heard my cry, because you heard my insecurities, I'm giving everything you give to me, I'm giving right back to you. Come on, I want to tell you how miracles happen. You're going to have to learn how to give back to God. When it's in the paperwork, God, if you give it to me, Three years go by. And this would be extremely difficult to me. This is the part that makes you cry. Take a three-year-old boy is what most Hebrew theologians believe the weaning age was in that society. And she takes a three-year-old boy to church with her. I don't know. Feel like she probably started praying again. And maybe that same Spirit of God that wasn't working with Hophni and Phinehas doing sacrifices every day. But he felt the power of God move back into that same place. I believe she went and stood in the same place and had that little boy. And I'll just say it like I would say it. Remember me. She said, she had that little boy, and she said, for this child I have prayed, and the Lord has heard me, and I'm giving him back to the Lord. See, what you don't realize is she had a bunch more children. She wasn't almost shut up. Some people think, I don't think I could give that well. You're robbing your own self of whatever it is. Well, I don't think I could. I don't got 30 minutes I could give God. I ain't got 10% I can give God. I ain't got an offering. You're robbing yourself. Amen. When you keep Samuel, that God gave it to you anyway. Amen. But when you're willing to say, here's Samuel. She had many, many. Hallelujah. God gave her Samuel. God gave her Samuel. God gave her a son. And then God gave her a song. Tell you what the blessings of God ought to do. It ought to open your mouth. Make things begin to flow. The Bible said Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Why are you rejoicing? Because when I used to have zero, now we're having to add on to the house. When I used to have nothing. Hey, don't forget about when you had nothing. Boy, I felt that in the Holy Ghost right there. Don't forget about when you wonder where your next meal was going to come from. Don't get all high and lift it up. You ain't going to let it soften you. She said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. Mine horn, my strength is exalted in the Lord. What has happened to Hannah? Hannah came face to face with Hannah. Come on, too many people fighting the devil when you need to be fighting what's in the mirror. She came face to face with Hannah. She said, my mouth is enlarged over mine enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee. Neither is there any rock like our God. What are you talking about? I'm talking about I'm happy now. God has helped me. She said, talk no more so exceedingly proudly. Putting people on notice. I wouldn't be talking about somebody that's on an altar crying out to God. I wouldn't be judging somebody that's got tears coming down their face and making commitments in their life. Be careful. Don't let arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge. And by him, actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken. This is her song. Ain't this beautiful? And they that stumbled are girded with strength. When he makes sense, does it? Yeah, it makes sense. Amen. When you put God in the mix. But they that were full, F-U-L-L, have hired out themselves for bread. And they that were hungry ceased. So that the barren hath borne, everybody say seven. How many kids you got? Three. Praise God. Amen. My mama had six. She was almost there. And she that hath many children is waxed feeble. It's talking about the one that started out that was against me. When I got focused on me and God, what was against me has become feeble. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. Ain't God good? For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth. And he shall give strength unto his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. Hallelujah. Hannah, tell me about that song. I heard you wrote a song. Yeah, it's about how great God is. It's about God coming to my side when I was so insecure, when I was so weak and I was so upset. Amen. I feel God in this place wanting to do something. This is what the Lord dealt with me about today. God wants you to have a song. Those that feel barren in life, in family, in business, in ministry, in health, in all things of life, God wants to give you a song. Song of praise. This same method of song would be duplicated again in Psalms. It would be duplicated again in the Gospels. Sure seems odd to see Hannah smiling and singing. Well, it wouldn't seem odd if you'd have seen her at church last Sunday. Oh, I'm wrapping up. I'm trying to. Man, too many people walk out the doors with the same insecurity. This is what God dealt with me about. They're struggling over the same stuff over and over. And it's, oh, they got a car. Oh, he got a new tie. I don't even have a tie. People, well, I'm just not smart. I'm just not this. I'm not that. I can't talk like them. I can't do a job interview like them. I can't tell. And all these insecurities. I come from a poor family. I come from this. And we use all this stuff. We allow the enemy to talk into our ears until God said, hey, I want to use you. I want to bless you. And we're sitting there, well, you must have the wrong number. Amen. I come from a dysfunctional home, and I can't. I rebuke every doubt. I rebuke every insecurity that is in this room. By the authority of the name of Jesus, I pray, God, I want people to put it on the altar tonight and never. I'm not talking about sins. There's a lot of good people that don't sin. I'm talking about insecurities. I'm praying people put it on the altar and never pick it up again. Lift your hands to the Lord together. Come on, I feel blessings in this house. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. God, I know you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. I know you want to touch people. I know you want to bless people. Come on, Mahata. Can you reach over and join with somebody? I don't even know what to do. Keep preaching. I got so much I can. But I feel like God's ready. I feel like the seed has been planted somewhere. Come on, I feel it in my spirit. Amen. This is going to be a turning point for Hannah. A turning point for the church. A turning point for families. Hallelujah. God once and for all. Come on, come on. If the word is spoken to you, I want you to get up from where you're at. This is going to be the first overcoming insecurity. You're going to get up off the pew, amen, and walk down to an altar, lay down, bow down, kneel down, whatever you feel like. Amen, and I want God to do a work. Every person. name of Jesus. Come on, let's begin to cry out to the Lord. Come on, somebody's going to have a pivotal moment in their life. Come on, in Jesus' name. Come on, God, don't make mistakes. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, let God work on it. Come on. Come on, young people, cry. Come on, married couples, cry. Come on, lowly in heart, cry.